Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody is a star. We do it straight with no chasing. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. What up, people? Here we go again. Thank you so much for joining us tonight live on Tribe Family Channel. This is your Funkstress Patrice Chocolate Banks, where everybody is a star, okay? And that includes you. Everybody is a star. Your shine is just different from mine, okay? Somebody said that one time, okay? Get your pencils and your papers out, and we're going to find out who that was. Now, look, I'm excited. Again, you guys know that I stay excited. I'm always talking about how excited I am. But, you know, just to bring the legends and the pioneers and the OGs that we are able to get on Everybody is a Star just, you know, keeps me excited, keeps me motivated. It's why I do what I do for you, okay? So now, our guest tonight is an original member of one of the most soulful groups ever, capital E-V-E-R, ever, with such hits as What You See Is What You Get, In the Rain, and Hey You, Get Off My Mountain. That was one of my favorite ones right there. Listen, they sang their way into the soundtrack of so many of our lives, okay? And it is just an honor to introduce to you tonight Mr. Willie Ford of the Dramatics. Welcome, Willie, and thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me, Chocolate. It's just a pleasure to be with you at this time.
Yay, I'm so glad. And you sang bass. You sang bass in the group, right?
Yes, I sing bass. A little baritone. Whatever's necessary, I'll try it.
Well, you're the one that on Me and Mrs. Jones, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but on Me and Mrs. Jones, you are the one that did that little sexy monologue in the front of it.
Yes,
dedicating the song especially to all the ladies named Jones, right?
By the last name of Jones, yes. I'm the one, yes, I am.
You are the one. I heard that. It's something about bass, you know what I'm saying? Bass in all aspects, you know, the bass voice, talking, singing, the bass instrument. It's just something about it that is just, you know, let me just say sexy. Let me just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And I know you already know because I know you know. Okay, so listen.
I'll agree.
So listen, we are going to start, okay? And what I like to do is start from the beginning, you know, all the way at the beginning, and squeeze all the juice out of it. Is that all right with you?
I go right ahead, baby.
Okay.
I'm here to assist.
Okay, all right. Well, here we go. So now, first of all, where's your hometown?
My hometown is Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually born and raised here. I did spend some school years in Georgia, a little town called LaGrange, Georgia.
Okay.
I spent a couple of years there.
Okay.
And I consider it also home. Yes, I do.
So now, but you most of it, your education was in Detroit, most of it?
Yes, without a doubt. Detroit
okay,
public
so
school system.
Okay, so shout out your schools for me.
Shout out to schools. My elementary school was Alger Elementary, was located on the north end of Detroit, the side of town that I grew up on. From there, I went to Sherrard Junior High, and from there, I went to Northern, the Big N-O, Northern High School.
Now, a lot of well-known, successful musicians went to Northern also, didn't they?
For sure. Smokey Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Smokey did. Melvin went for a while, but he actually finished Melvin Franklin of the Temptations.
Right.
Actually, this was the neighborhood of a lot of the Motown artists. I grew up in the Motown era, and I want to tell you, we used to carry. We were just a group doing talent shows. We used to carry the Temptations suit to the clearance. I remember when they had one suit. And the cleaners was called Bob Santex Cleaners. It was on the corner of Rosedale and Woodward Avenue in Detroit. And I stayed five blocks from Smokey.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing with his nephew. His nephew was a group member of mine, along with several other guys. We got together and formed a group called The Primes, right after the Temptations Primes. And it was a very exciting thing. At that time, we would sing for free because we just loved to do it.
Okay. So I don't want us to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we're gonna bookmark that because I want to find out all about how you ended up taking the Temptations one suit to the cleaners. I need to find out that story, but let's continue with you. So now, what were your first musical influences? Like, were you singing in the choir in church, or
sure,
what was going on
sure.
around the house? What was the
school.
Your mom and dad playing? You know, tell us all about that.
Oh, my mom and dad were not actually musical. I had uncles that were musical. My mother's brothers. I picked up a lot in the church. Church is where I sung in the Tots Choir. I attended Newmount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit.
All right.
And I started in the Tots Choir. And from there, I went on to sing in the Young Adele Choir, to the male chorus, the whole thing.
The whole nine yards. So,
the whole nine yards.
But how did you start out, like you started in the Tots Choir, but how did you know that you could sing? Who encouraged you to sing? Did somebody hear your voice and say, "This boy can sing, let's put him in"?
A lot of times I was told that I couldn't sing,
mm-hmm.
but actually I sounded good to myself. So I wouldn't let what a person said.
Right.
I wouldn't let what nobody said stop me from doing it. And about the time I entered junior high school is when I met Smokey Robinson's family, his nephews, and we were in the Boy Scouts together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about the Motown era, and everybody on every block in Detroit, there was a group on every block. And that was what was happening.
You said that there were those that were telling you that you couldn't sing, but you didn't pay any attention to them. You were going to sing anyway. So let me ask you this. Who was it that you heard? Like, who influenced you? Like, was there like a male vocalist that you heard for the first time that you said, I want to sound like them? Like, who was your biggest musical influence?
My biggest musical influence was Mr. David English, better known as Melvin Franklin of the Temptations.
Okay.
We were just young kids, and to be backstage at the Motown reviews was just something out of this world. I mean, it was like a dream come true, because this is at the time 1962-63. I'm 12 or 13 years old.
Okay.
And my influences were so much group orientated.
Right.
That, and by being close to Smokey, Smokey helps us out quite a bit. And
You met and you were acquainted with Smokey through his nephew. What was his nephew's name?
Clifford Burston.
Okay.
Clifford Burston, and to this day we constantly are in touch, and it's just a beautiful thing. I'm talking about 50 years plus friendship.
Right.
And he's a very good friend of mine, and I love
okay.
him.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Melvin was your first musical influence, and of course, because Melvin was a bass, he sang bass. But you called him somebody else, so he changed his name.
Melvin Franklin. His actual name was David English.
Okay.
He was English, and it turned into Melvin Franklin. I don't know whether he picked it up by just a stage name or what have you, but he was an English and a Franklin.
Okay.
So there we go.
That's interesting. Didn't know that. So now tell me, like, how the steps went in your little career. Like, okay, you started singing in church, and then by middle school, I just heard you say that you were at the Apollo. Did you say that?
Oh, the Fox Theater.
Oh, the Fox Theater. Okay, so now, of course, in Detroit, we know that I can't even imagine, and I wish I could have just somehow been there in some way to just see and feel all the energy that must have been, you know, it had the air must have been electric with all the energy of all the talent that
you
was coming
right.
from everybody.
Right.
From
you
everybody,
because right.
I know everybody was trying to sing. I have been interviewing. I have been interviewing people from Detroit, and they all say the same thing. Last week, it was David Banks of Enchantment, and everybody says the same thing about. And I try to imagine what it must have been like, but I know that I cannot even begin to imagine what the atmosphere must have been like to be growing up in Detroit around all this music. And so how did you start? Okay, how old were you when you were in your first little group and you guys were singing, like, outside under the light and
we
stuff?
We were, like, 10, 11.
Okay.
I don't know whether David Banks told you or mentioned it or not, but him and myself sang in the same church choir. We went to the same church, and we came out of the same church. We sung in the same church choir at New Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been close for years and years. I've watched their group go from struggle and trying to get a hit to making gold records. But let me give you a synopsis of the Motown Review. To be for $2.75, you could go and see Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Temptations, the Contours, the Supremes, Martha and the Vandellas, the Marvelettes, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Let me see, who else? The Originals. Oh, my God. It was just...
$2.75.
Okay. It sounds unbelievable. But that's the way it was.
It sounds awesome to me. $2.75.
$2.75.
Okay, so let's start with you. Let's start with you being 10 years old. And,
10 years old.
And this and the group that you were. We want to start with your career now. How, you know, take us from the beginning on through.
Okay. At the age of 10, it was just neighborhood guys. Guys across the street, down the street. I hadn't yet, that was right before I met Clifford Burton, Smokey's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
We would just be out at night till the street lights came on and we had to be in. But we would walk up and down the street just singing and harmonizing, and it was just it was our pastime.
And you know that what? Now there was probably a group like just about on every corner. So I try to imagine in my mind what it must have sounded like with all this music in the air, with all these little groups, you know, harmonizing together, all this music in the air. Like, yes. What was that like? I mean,
it was like a contest. We would have contests in the street with different groups. It was, like I said before, it was a group on every block or every other block.
Right.
That was the norm, and it was just electric. I can't even think of the word.
I know you can't. So we'll just let our listeners try to imagine.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
What that must have been like. Okay, so 10 years old. So let's move forward
from
to
there,
like what middle
there,
school, I guess.
To the Boy Scouts.
I
went from the Cub Scouts to the Boy Scouts. I was always orientated into groups. I learned how to get along with groups of people, and my mother and father kept me in like sports, baseball teams, you know, football. We had a recreation center. Yeah, but anything involving groups of people, I learned how to communicate and have build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important, even for today. I think that the kids need that. They need to be active and progressive and positive things rather than doing this street thing that they're doing.
Absolutely. And let me just say that I was a Girl Scout, and our motto was always be prepared.
Always be prepared.
Always
yes.
be prepared. Or
to
in
this
other words,
day,
like,
to this, excuse me, Patrice, to this day, I remember the Scout Oath.
Let's hear it. I got my three fingers up with you. Come on, let's go.
A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
And you know what? You are so right. I mean, you know, because, like I said, I was a Girl Scout. You were a Boy Scout. This is what these are the things we were brought up. My mama like insisted that I be a Girl Scout. I thought it was corny, but you know, so much of the fundamentals in life, you know what I'm saying,
yes,
are based
yes.
on the things that you learn in organizations like that. And you know, like I said, we were always be, you know, our motto was always be prepared. But on the other hand, it was the same thing my grandmother used to say. She used to say, "Don't get ready, stay ready." So you know,
So the
basic fundamentals of life. That's what you learned back in those days. So let's go back to you.
In the Boy Scouts is where I met Clifford Burston.
Okay.
And his family, Mr. Robinson and his sister. They stayed, like I said, five blocks away.
Now, how old were you at this time?
I was, at that time, I was 12.
Okay.
12 years old.
So what was it like to meet Smokey Robinson?
Oh, it was phenomenal. And even at that time, I didn't really know the extent of his success.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have an inkling of what was entailed in Motown with Berry Gordy and Smokey and what's his name? I can't even think of his name. Marv Johnson and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was fascinating. It was fascinating, but I had no idea that things would turn out like they did turn out for myself or them.
Okay.
And Motown became an international, an international miracle. It was a miracle.
And also you and other little boys like you and girls, too, this was a normal thing. This was nothing exceptional. Yeah. This is what you guys grew up in. Exactly. So this is what, I mean, you know, it wasn't different for everybody to be singing on every other block. That wasn't different. That was that was healthy, normal, something that you look forward to all
exactly.
the time. So, yeah. Okay,
exactly.
So now, okay.
So
after you met him,
there.
Okay.
After we met Smokey, I remember when the Miracles, we used to watch them rehearse in
mm-hmm.
the basement. And, we would seek help and guidance from them. We got it. Then from there, I met the Temptations. Because at that time, Smokey was writing for them and recording them. That was it. That was the straw. I mean, they were my idol.
Right.
They were my idol. They were my idols, the Temptations. We patterned ourselves after them to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And we took some things from other groups also, like the Contours.
Right.
Mr. James Brown. And
had so many people to choose from, right? There was a little boy that wanted to sing. All he had to do was just look around him. There was like everybody, like you say, all of Motown, then Jackie Wilson, then Sam Cooke, I could go on, James Brown. I could go on and on and on. So it was just like you just had so many choices as to, you know, who you want to be like, you know, who you want to grow up and be like. Okay.
Yes. I was always told to be yourself, and always, like, if we would do a song, we would do it our way. We wouldn't do it exactly the way it was recorded or the other group did it. We would do it our way. And so by doing that, we came into our own as far as having our own style. You know how you can listen to some records or listen to a song and you can tell exactly who's singing it?
Exactly.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
they have laid that, they just have their sound.
Right.
And we were told and showed that that's what sells.
Right.
Individuality. You have to be, you have to have your own style, you know, to be patterned after someone is great for someone to pattern themselves after you, but to have your own style is that's what takes you far.
That's what you aspire to, because you want to stand out. When people hear your record, it's like, oh, okay, that's that's the Dramatics, that's Dells,
that's
even
right.
though, like, even the Enchantment, although they came up in Detroit too, they still had their own style, as did the Dramatics. Okay, so now, let's go to what your first group. Well, you know, tell me about the first group that you were in that you guys said, okay, we about to take over the world.
Well, that was the Primes.
Okay.
We were in high school at this time, and we would, participate in talent shows all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we would win. We would win every talent show. I believe we might have lost one or two,
mm-hmm.
but out of 20 or 30 talent shows, we were the winners of most of them. I remember this one talent show we did. Carl Carlton was on the show.
Oh, Bad Mama Jamma.
Bad Mama Jamma. Yeah. And we won the show, and he came in second. Sure did. It goes back like that. Detroit was just a mecca for music. It was music mecca.
Okay, and so now you guys are winning as the Primes, right?
As the Primes.
As the Primes, you're winning all these talent shows. Okay,
that's
so
right.
So what next after winning all the talent
after
shows?
After high school, two of the guys went to the service, And the group, we kind of split up. We kind of split up. Everybody went their own way. I went into another group. The group was called the Capitals.
Right.
The Cool Jerk Capitals. I sung with them no more than a year, maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. At this time, they had recorded Cool Jerk.
It was another hit they had.
And they had some internal problems. And they reorganized, and I sung and did some shows with them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
From that group, from that time and that group, came the Dramatics.
Okay, now, according to my research here, the Dramatics originally formed in 1964 as the Sensations.
Exactly.
And then they changed their name to the Dynamics.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. There was a group called the Dynamics.
Okay.
On a record that was recorded by the Dramatics, it was a misprint, and it had Dynamics on the record. It was a 45 single, and I believe the record was
called
Dinky
Dingo.
Wang Dang Doo.
Okay.
I don't know whether you've heard that, but I believe that was the record.
Well, it says online. It says the first release in 1965 was called Bingo.
Bingo. And Inky Dinky Wang Dang Doo. I think that was on the other side. Was Inky Dinky Wang Dang Doo All Because of You?
No, it was Inky Dinky Wang Dang Doo. Now, what they're saying online is that Ed Wingate, what he did, they're saying that the Sensations would change their names to the Dynamics, but Wingate misprinted their name. It was supposed to be the Dynamics, but he put the Dramatics. That's wrong.
Don't believe what you hear online. The name of the group was the Dramatics, and the misprint was that Dynamics.
Okay, so they got it backwards.
Yes, it's backwards.
Okay, they have it backwards. Okay,
it was backwards,
So the second little hit that kind of got it wasn't exactly a hit, but it kind of made some noise was Inky Dinky Wang Dang Doo.
Exactly.
And then they moved to another local Detroit label called Sport Records.
Sport, right?
Where they had their first minor hit single called All Because of You, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That was the lead singer was Larry Reed at that time. Larry Reed. The bass singer was Roderick Davis. And after that song was out is when they split up. Larry Reed was replaced by Weegee William Howard, and Roderick was replaced by Willie Ford, myself.
Right. Okay, so, well, let's check out their first minor hit single, Because of You. We're going to check that out and see what they sounded like before anybody knew who they were, just locally popular in Detroit. The Sport record label, the Dramatics, Everybody is a Star, All Because of You. Here you go.
All right. Okay.
Looking
Dramatics, and tell me how that felt like when you got the phone call. Tell me what you were doing, and well, you know, let's go there.
This is at that time we were ready to reform our group, the Primes. We and Ouija Howard, myself, Clifford Burson, which is Smokey's nephew.
Right.
Madison Hughes and a gentleman named Clarence Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Clarence and Madison made up their minds to go into the service. And we were left seeking replacements.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Ron Banks and myself, we sat next to each other in chemistry in high school.
Okay.
And I used to always tell Ron, because they was a star then. He was, you know, they had cut several records and did shows down at the Arcadia, which was a skating ring, and they had quite a few soul shows, and they had appeared there. And I would always tell Ron, come on, man, let's sing something. And he said, man, I don't sing for free. I don't sing for free. So,
getting back to the school, talking about he don't sing for free.
To the question. William Howard was the first one that was drafted to sing with the Dramatics. Larry Reed had quit. Rod Davis had quit.
Mm-hmm.
Ouija he got into the group, I guess it was about almost a year before I was called. And I was at home one day, and I wasn't called. Ron Banks and Albert Wilkins, which was the originator, he was the founder of the Dramatics.
Okay, Albert Wilkins, okay.
Albert Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
They came to my mother's house, and we sat down. They said, "I told them, you're gonna have to talk to my mom and daddy, you know, because they were traveling over in to Canada and doing some shows in Ohio, leaving town. You know, I had never left town to do a show."
Right.
So I told him, I said, you're going to have to ask my mother and father. They came over to the house and presented themselves and presented the opportunity, and it was all right. It was all good. So
your mother and father were very supportive.
Well, my mother more so than my father.
Okay.
My father said, you got to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get a job and get yourself some money. I said, well, yeah, I understand that. So I did work. I worked at every plant in the city of Detroit. I worked at Ford's. I worked at Chrysler. I worked at Cadillac. I worked at all these plants for no more than 2 weeks. I couldn't conform.
Right.
My heart was set on being a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, bam, the Dramatics, William Howard, Ron Banks, Albert Wilkins, Larry Demp, Squirrel, and Willie Ford. we began to rehearse. They began to rehearse me and rehearse me. I took a brown bag lunch to rehearsal every day. We rehearsed, I mean, to the point that I would be sore, a young man sore.
Okay.
And
but
it was
see,
just.
That's what it takes, though, Willie. That's what it takes.
Yes.
It takes
that's what
that.
It takes.
But so let me, so let's get back to how did you feel when you knew that these people were reaching out, that the Dramatics were reaching out to you to be in the group? Like, could you believe it?
Well, yes, I could believe it because at that time I was capable of giving just what they needed.
Okay, Boy Scout.
It was a beautiful marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were a hell of a group. Excuse
yes.
the language.
Hell
of a group. I mean, it seems like when one person opened their mouth, the next person would catch on and fit right in. It's just so automatic. The hardest part I had at the beginning was doing the choreography. Larry Squirrel Demps was a magician with steps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could step, he could fly. Oh, man, it was amazing. He made some phenomenal steps. I don't know if people would watch some of the videos and some of the live shows in the back in the 70s in the 70s of the Dramatics. I look at them now sometime, and I have to stand up myself and say, wow.
Well, you know what? During my research, I was looking at some of the YouTube shows you guys did, and so what you see is what you get on Soul Train. Y'all was cutting up. It's some steps on there that you guys were doing on that.
Yes, Larry Demps was responsible for all
that,
of those steps.
I didn't even understand how the choreography, because the steps that were being done, like, they were so precise that, I don't know, sometimes it kind of looked like it was off beat. You know, that's how precise it was. But it would just go, it would fall right back in, right on time. That what you see, what you get choreography, that was something else. So you had to really work on your steps?
Yes, yes. I had trouble in the beginning, and they would be on me. They would be on me like white on rice.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
The steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it finally came together after hours and days and months and years.
And blood and sweat and tears.
And blood, sweat and tears. That's right. But we continued to do shows in and around the Detroit area, and then came the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Don Davis, who was a guitar player at Motown
and a producer, right?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, he was just a guitar player.
Okay.
Yes, and he became a producer. He finally broke out on his own through the help of his brother, Willie Davis, and bought a studio and said he was going to build a record company.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and introduced us to Mr. Tony Hester.
Tony Hester. Who wrote What You See Is What You Get, right?
Who wrote not only What You See Is What You Get, he wrote the first two albums.
Right.
The first two albums he wrote and co-produced every song
mm-hmm.
on the album. And he had us in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we considered him the sixth member of the group. He wrote some phenomenal records.
He definitely did.
What You See Is What You
Get.
Taylor Made
for your sign.
Taylor Made
for your sound. Absolutely.
Yes. And from there, My first record, the first record I recorded was What You See Is What You Get, a gold record.
A gold record. Okay, so now you know we got to stop here. So what did that feel like? After all that hard work, I mean, you have been singing all your life, okay, and now here you were in a position where it looked like you had a gold record and it looked like you was on your way, because things aren't always what they seem in this music business, but it looked like you were on your way. What did that feel like?
It felt like, Ma, I'm on top of the world. Ma, I'm on top of the world. It was a very exhilarating and exciting time for me in my life. It was a dream come true.
Right.
It was truly a dream come true. I had dreamed about recording gold records. And at that time, we were traveling with James Brown.
Mm.
And James Brown presented us with the gold record. The
wow.
Whole at Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. An unforgettable moment in my life.
Wow.
Never forget. Yes. And we went on to have three hits.
Back after back. You know, just one after another after another.
Yeah. Then came Get Up and Get Down. Then In the Rain,
and
which
then,
was our biggest seller. In the
yeah.
Rain was our biggest seller to this date.
And Hey You, really?
Yes, In the Rain.
Okay. And Hey
yes.
You and Me and Mrs. Jones.
Yes, yes.
So, did you start making money? Because so many times, because you were young, so many times, you know, young men and women, they get out there and they're so just enthralled and wrapped up in the fun of realizing their dreams and being out in front of the girls, all the guys out in front of the girls and screaming and hollering. So they get caught up in that part of it and don't necessarily focus on the business part of it.
Exactly.
So were you, you know, can you look back and say that you were, like, getting paid?
Yes, I was getting paid.
Okay.
We were getting paid. We were getting paid, but we weren't getting our due.
Mm-hmm.
We got wrapped up in the work of traveling and the recording business snuck by us.
Right.
You know, it got by us. And even to this date, I'm still collecting my royalties.
I heard
from
that.
Records years ago from,
right.
from the beginning. You know, at that time, during our heyday, for the first 10 years, we had a 10-year run of recording and releasing two albums a year.
Mm-hmm.
We were an album selling group.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, that business got away from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until, you know, we realized it after it was over.
Right.
After that run was over. You know, it's not over until it's over.
Right.
So we know that. But like so many groups like us, they get caught up in whatever the case might be.
Yeah, things are moving so fast. Things are moving
yeah.
so fast. And
yes,
you're having
yes.
so much fun. And you just, you know,
yes.
it's all about the girls. It's, you know, for guys, it's all about the girls. Plenty of girls screaming and hollering, being up
that's
on that stage, doing
sure.
those steps.
Yeah.
Doing those one-nighters, everything just goes by so fast. And then one day you look up and realize, wait a minute, I've been on the road for like 265 days this year, and how come I don't have a house yet? You know,
and
that
where
kind
the
of
money?
Stuff.
And where's the money? Where's the rest of the money?
Yeah, like that. So let's listen to one of my favorite dramatic songs. Which you guys are riding high on this one. This was your first gold record. What you see is what you get, baby. And that's my motto right there.
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you guys are like riding that wave of success. You guys were out there for so long, like you said, you had hit after hit after hit. You did name one moment that you had when James Brown presented you with the gold record, the group with the gold record. But is there any other event that's stands out? I know there's so many of them in your career as a member of the Dramatics.
Oh, yes, there's quite a few.
I know there's a lot, but just, you know, one in particular, maybe?
Particular. The time that we met Red Fox. I had met Red Fox previously as a youngster. Before I even recorded, Red Fox used to visit a friend of his that stayed right across the street from my mom and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Paul Leonard,
mm-hmm.
and he was a hoofer. He was a
cadet, right?
Yes, a
okay.
Cap. He was a member of a group called the Leonard Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and they were hoofers. And Red used to come right across the street and visit him. And I met him at that time. And when we did a Red Fox special, it was a Red Fox special right out there in L.A. It was televised. It was
mm-hmm.
fantastic. And I tried to get him to remember the time that I actually met him.
Mm-hmm.
But the memory evaded him. He didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a moment in my life that I do remember. It was quite special.
Of course, because you went from a little boy watching
right.
Red Fox
right.
go visit somebody across the street from your house.
Exactly.
And now here you are in a
man.
Group that's on a special, a man.
That's
in a
right.
group that's on a special of
yeah.
his that he's having.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
life will do that to you, won't it? Look
yes,
at God.
It will.
God,
yes,
you can't.
It will. Look at
that's
God.
The thing
that's
about
right.
God. You can't never, you don't never, don't even try to guess. Somebody told me if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans, okay?
If you want to make him laugh, tell him your plans.
Just tell him your
right.
plans. Because you don't never know what he has in store, ever. And
know.
To be able to be blessed like that. For you, that was like a personal thing that you could, it wasn't the same for nobody else but Willie Ford. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, the Dramatics went through a bunch of changes, a bunch of personnel changes, a bunch of legal things you guys went through and everything.
Yes,
and at one point, the group was called Ron Banks and the Dramatics because of some legal stuff you guys were going through.
Let me tell you how that came about.
Okay.
At the time, actually, it was right after the first album was recorded when William Howard and Albert Wilkins left the group and started another group called the Dramatics.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for the name change was to distinguish the two groups. So we put Ron was the leader at that time, so we put his name out front.
Mm-hmm.
it created some bad feelings for a couple of people, but that was the best thing to do at that time. You know, I felt my vote was to go for it, and I never had any reservations about doing it, because there needed to be a distinction.
Right.
Because they were out working as well as we were, and sometimes it would get mixed up. So that's how that came about.
And at the end of the day, everybody trying to get paid. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
However it can be worked out, then let's work it out. And I truly understand that. So
we finally worked it out by settling out of court. We settled with them, X amount of money, and they gave up all rights to the name. They relinquished their royalties. For myself, I think it was a bad deal on their behalf. We came out on top and continued to be the Dramatics all by ourselves.
And as you continue to be the Dramatic today, now today there are still two groups, and one of them is your group, the Dramatics, featuring Willie Ford, and then there's also a Dramatics with L.J. Reynolds, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right.
It's a tragedy that we couldn't continue on and see eye to eye, but it was just irreconcilable differences between us, and I couldn't go any further on that track.
Well, you know what? It's like it bees like that sometimes. But
know,
like I said, once again, as long as everybody is making money at the end of the day, because if you've been in a group for 50 something years, you know what I'm saying, and everybody is still rolling, then just go for what you know. Just go for what you know. As long as the music and the sound is not compromised, that's all that matters. Because when people come out to see you after all this time and you hit those records that they love so much and the reaction that you get from them, that's what you live for. That's why you're doing it. And as a matter of fact, how does that feel?
And to
after all this time, singing these same songs in front of these people that have followed your career and are Dramatic fans.
Last weekend, we were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A gentleman came after the show was over, came behind stage, and he had 17 of our albums.
What? And wanted you to sign all 17 of them, right?
And I did, without reservation. I sure did. I mean, he was a real fan. A real fan, and he was just ecstatic, and so was I. I was just happy to see that a person had collected us like that.
Okay.
And I it was a pleasure for me to sign each and every one of them through the arthritis and everything else.
You said through the arthritis and everything else.
That's right.
I know that brother. He was in heaven, boy. He got all of his albums signed.
Yeah,
I heard that. That's
And they were in mint condition.
What? He was a collector.
Yes, he's a collector.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a collector. He told me he had in the excess of over 2,000 LPs. Yes, he was.
But you guys have 17. That's what I'm trying to get over. I didn't even know that, you had done that many albums. 17, that's a lot.
Listen, from 1971 to 1980, we had 20.
Oh.
And we had so many compilations that we were on.
Right.
And I believe right now we have about 30 albums out.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about, longevity, music that lasts for all time, OG soul, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
OG soul, baby.
Yes, ma'am.
So listen.
And I would like to say one thing. I would like to say to your listening audience that I am very grateful and appreciative for all the support that the Dramatics have been giving down through the years. And hopefully, and in the very near future, we will have some more good listening music for you. We've been recording, doing some recording right now, but at this time, it's so hard for our groups and our type groups to get played.
Right.
It's such a downer, but it's not going to stop us from trying to continue to please our audience. The audience that we do have, that's what matters, and even to make it grow, to make the audience grow.
Right.
We reach out for people who don't know us, and that's what we're about.
Absolutely.
And, we're very appreciative.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, trying to go in the studio and do music in these days and times, it's another whole animal right now. However, as long as you come, all we need is for when we see the Dramatics name, that when we go to that concert, we know that we are going to hear what you see is what you get. Be My Girl, In the Rain. See, that's all we could see. People miss authentic music. You know, nothing more. The only thing that can take you back to a specific moment in time is your favorite song. You know what I'm saying?
That's why people
love to come to these concerts and hear their favorite groups, because it takes them back to a time that they miss. And so as long as you keep doing that, I mean, it's good to try to do new music. I understand all that. But as long as you can take your fans back to their favorite Dramatic song, that's all that really matters. You know what I'm saying? That's all that really matters. That's keeping true school music alive, okay? So unfortunately, we have to wrap it up. I could talk to you all night. But before we do, I would like to know if you have any shout-outs. You just shouted out all your fans, so thank you. Anybody else you want to shout out in particular?
Yes, I would like to shout out to Clifford Burston, who's up in Pasadena. And I hope you're listening in. He knows to do that. And his brother, Bill. And everybody that's in the sound of my voice. And I want to shout out to my newest grandchild. Whose name is Talia.
Okay.
And she's downstairs, and she's quiet now, so she's content.
So listen,
I want her to know that I love her. And I want
heard
this
that.
By on
that's
record.
Sweet.
I want this on record, yes.
Now, who
God
are the other
good.
Members of the group that you are out with right now?
Okay, I have Mr. Michael Brock, who was a member of the group before Ron passed away.
Okay.
Mr. Ricky Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Doug Gaddy.
Okay.
And Mr. Greg Finley, who was a member of the Five Special, which was Ron's brother's group back in the late 70s.
Okay.
Early 80s, yes.
All right.
Those five gentlemen, including myself, we have a special bond, and we have a special group, and it reminds me a lot of the first group.
All right.
Because if people come to see us, they're going to see, and they're going to listen, and it will take them back.
Absolutely.
It will take them back. It makes a poor dog that we won't pat itself on the back. And I just want to say that, you know, if that when the opportunity arises, Willie Ford and the dramatics featuring Willie Ford, come on out. Get a ticket and come on out and see us.
Absolutely.
And let us take you back.
Absolutely. Support, support, support. So now, if we want to find out what Willie Ford and the Dramatics are doing, where do we go on
you can go to our website, which
okay.
is the Dramatics featuring Willie Ford .net. You can go to my Facebook page, Willie Ford on Facebook, and you should be able to pick it up from there.
Okay, cool. So now where's your next gig?
The next gig is a private date. It's a, a corporate date.
Right, right.
Private party. It's going to be here in Southfield, Michigan. And I'm working on something for California real soon. Los Angeles, Oakland, and San Diego.
Okay,
so
well, you know when
you're coming out that way soon.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, you know, when you come to Los Angeles, I'm going to give you a call because it's all about that hookup.
When I come to Los Angeles, I'm going to give you a call. Yes, ma'am. I want you to be there. I want to say it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed myself. And God bless you. And may you have all the things that you want. All the things that you need and all the things that you want in life, and may God continue to bless you.
Well, I receive that. I receive that, Mr. Ford, Mr. Willie Ford. I receive that. And I want to do some shout-outs. I want to shout out the Creator, my family,
yes.
who always support me. I want to shout out Beverly Black,
yes.
Tribe Family Channel Creator. For all things chocolate, go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. And I want to say may the funk continue to be with all of y'all, okay, at all times. And now we're going to have, as we go out, we're going to have a Dramatics party. We're going to play all the songs that, because we got to talking and your story was so interesting, I just couldn't stop it for phone calls or music or anything else. So we're going to go out on In the Rain and Hey You and Be My Girl and Me and Mrs. Jones and Get Up and Get Down. So for all of you who are listening, hang on to the phone. Continue to party with us as we have a Dramatics party. Ain't no party like a Dramatics party, because a Dramatics party don't stop. So make sure that you come on and party with us. And thank you so much, Willie, and I hope to hear from you very soon. God bless you and yours. And, you know, just keep that funk alive. Keep that true school music rolling till the wheels fall off.
For sure, darling. And may you receive all this good and can just continue to do what you're doing. It's a blessing.
Thank you very much. I plan on doing just that. So right now, here we go. We about to do the daggum thing right now on this Friday night on Everybody is a Star. Bye,
Everybody
Willie.
Is a Star.
Is a Star. Thank
okay.
you, Willie.
Thank you, baby.
By the last name of Jones. You see, if your last name happens to be Jones, then we send this out to you, especially. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a know that it's wrong.
I'm Hey, you. My spirit,
you
thank you, baby. I just wanna take a little time out to thank you, baby. Thank you for your love. You came along and showed me that a man can't live by bread alone. And you came on and taught me that no, I just can't make it on my own. But why, I thank you, I thank the Lord above for smiling down on me, yeah, and blessing me with your love, baby. Loneliness was about to make me lose my mind, but you came along just in time, and I want to thank you, baby.